Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fightgame Media Network. Happy Wednesday morning to you all as you're back here to recap the week so far in WWE as the road to WrestleMania continues. We are under 30 days until the biggest weekend of the year for WWE, the never-ending weekend, apparently, in Las Vegas. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, for the first time in over 3 weeks, is my co-captain, is my right hand. He is someone who is the current advocate for the rapidly improving Ms. Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on the rap, back on the island of Rebel at Sea, the one, the only, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. It feels so good to be back. Shout out to Sexy Grandpa Dez and Sam filling in. They did a very adequate job and made me look like I had no business being behind the microphone. So I appreciate that from them too for the last few weeks, almost getting me out of a job. So shout out to them. But this is going to be fun. A lot has changed. The landscape has changed. Conversation should be pretty good today.
Yes, I told Scott off the air that I thought this was going to be a fun kind of loose show to allow Scott the opportunity to sit on his soapbox for maybe an hour to express all the things that have happened in the last 26 days in WWE. And it's been a lot. The entire course of WrestleMania has changed. The direction is still uncertain for some, but I just wanted to sit back, relax, and let Scott talk for as long as he wants to expound on his takes, and I will interject when I need to. And knowing me, I will, because he's going to try it at some point. But let's go all the way back. Let's rewind the clock to the beginning of this month, March 1st, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. It was the Elimination Chamber, PLE, where things changed forever. But let's begin with the Women's Elimination Chamber match. Now, when we were last together, Scott and I basically said, if Bianca Belair does not win this match, I don't know what the hell are we doing heading into WrestleMania. There's one obvious pick here, one obvious winner, and we were correct. And shout out to Liv Morgan, because outside of Bianca Belair, she was the MVP of that match. But the beginning of the match was the return of Jade Cargill targeting the person who attacked her months ago in an unseen attack on SmackDown. And instead of going after Liv Morgan, she went after prime suspect Naomi.
Yeah. Especially with the hindsight. So, you know, she goes after Naomi, but then later on she says that that's only because she saw her walking away. So she didn't see who attacked her. So we're just blindly attacking people at this point. So, all right, cool. Shout out to Liv Morgan. We might have a solid argument along with Io Sky for MVP of the entire women's division for going on the last 12 months, if not longer. Bianca Belair, like you said, was the right winner. But now it's almost like, you know, we can't just have a straight up one-on-one match. We got to throw all these twists and turns to get where we need to go. You know, it's funny because Bianca Belair, in an interview, I can't remember where it was, but she was advocating for a singles match, non-title. For a women's singles match. And it looks like she's not going to be the one to do it, even though she is in the middle of a storyline that's probably going to give two women a singles match. I just find that interesting. But the Jade Naomi thing, that's It's fine. I I'm all for it, because if it's going to get two black women a singles match, non-title, on the WrestleMania card, I'm here for that. Naomi and Jade, it'll be interesting to say the least. But Bianca winning was the most important thing to come out of that, as she will more than likely either open or close night one.
Yes, definitely agree with you there. Top five Bianca Belair ring gear fit as well. Very cowboy Carter inspired, with the ostrich feathers, the jacket. She loved that jacket, wore it multiple times that weekend as well. But she was just the right winner at the right time. And, you know, the roundabout way of them getting to where they need to get to at WrestleMania, it is a bit tedious, and we're taking another direction, as we'll get to later on in this episode. But even though we're taking this convoluted track to where we need to get to, I still believe that if we're going to get a triple threat involving Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, and Bianca Belair, they should main event and out of WrestleMania. I think their story is probably the hottest storyline going on Monday Night Raw, and they should justifiably close out night one, in my opinion.
Yeah, as of right now, I could see that. The only problem with that is I see is I feel like they've done it intentionally to kind of build EO up, which I'm not opposed to, but I don't want Bianca losing her streak either. But it seems like they're putting the champion on the back burner. You know, this feels like when Randy Orton was champion and they had the triple threat with Randy Orton, Triple H, and John Cena. And the real story there was John Cena and Triple H, but Randy Orton just happened to be champion at the time. The whole build to that match was Randy Orton is just kind of there. Randy Orton's just there. It's definitely going to be one of these two juggernauts walking out as the winner, and Randy ends up walking out as champion. I could see them kind of setting up the same thing here with Io Sky, even though Io should be on that. If she just beat Rhea Ripley clean in the middle of the ring, she should be even footing with all three, with both of them. So it is what it is, but I agree with you to an extent that I think this will probably be the best match, but it's just hard to compete with Roman, Seth, and CM Punk, and they're probably going to add some type of, there's got to be some type of hook or stipulation that they're going to put on their match. If not, then I agree with you. These women should be headlining, but I feel like they might add like a winner gets added to the Cody Cena match, and if you do something like that, then that kind of adds a different wrinkle. But I'm always going to be an advocate for Bianca Belair closing out a show, as she is the most important woman in that division.
I agree. And to go back to what you said about potentially Roman, CM Punk, and Seth, I talked about this a few times as well, in that CM Punk, his entire story is about main eventing WrestleMania. And I don't think it should be a given that you main event night one if you're trying to get to night two. Like, you've done that. You've headlined. I think you shouldn't be given that cookie. I think that you should be probably semi-main event, middle of the show, and those are the stakes. Whatever the favor Paul Heyman has that he owes CM Punk, it needs to be, if you win this match, you're going to go on to main event WrestleMania alongside Cody and John Cena. That needs to be the reward at the end of the rainbow. You don't get to the rainbow because it's Roman and Seth. Seth would be horrified at the thought of him being a part of CM Punk's hopes and dreams of headlining WrestleMania. I don't see it. And because you're trying to tell that story, that's the reason why it should not be the main event. It should be something that Punk earns the night before.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that triple threat should close over Jay and Gunther?
Which one?
Rhea, Io, and Bianca, the World Heavyweight title.
Yes, I do. Okay. I do. Even though Jay won the Royal Rumble, it was a great moment. The build to this match with Gunther has not been the greatest. And I think that if we're going in terms of what is the hottest thing on Monday Night Raw, in terms of reactions outside of Jay's entrance, it's Bianca, Io, and Rhea. They are the driving force with the best story, despite how convoluted it may be, to get us to where we need to go.
Yeah, I won't be opposed to the women closing, especially with Bianca Belair in the mix. I'm always going to advocate for her to close out a show.
I agree. And I do like the fact that Io is like saying, I will not be forgotten in this match. You will acknowledge me as your champion. And every time she gets pie faced, she gets irritated. And I do love the fact that they're actively acknowledging Io getting ignored, that she's just not a side story to Rhea and Bianca, which could very well be a backlash match post WrestleMania, because they're building towards a singles match between those two down the road as well.
Yeah, that's the end game of this whole thing. You know, Io probably should win at WrestleMania, but I'm also a little biased and want Bianca to keep her title streak going that she got going on. So it's clearly Bianca and Rhea is the end game of this entire thing and where we're going, but it's a matter of whether the title will be on the line or not.
Indeed, we'll find out in less than 30 days heading into WrestleMania night one or two on Peacock. But let's get to the other men's Elimination Chamber match from March 1st and the outcome of said match, because John Cena called his shot and he punched his ticket to WrestleMania by making CM Punk pass out to the STF, a very devastating, more than usual hold to pass out one of his longtime greatest opponents in WWE history. But I do want Scott's quick take on the thing that I wanted since really Cena's retirement announcement and Punk's return to WWE, in that the chemistry after, what, 15 or so years is still there, is still special. And I now need a singles match involving these two before Cena hangs up the jorts.
Yeah, I definitely think we're getting that singles match. And chemistry is something that some people just have, and every time they step in the ring, they just got it. I like the fact that Cena probably having the tightest STF that he's had on since he put it on Chris Masters in the very first debut match of it. Should have been a dead giveaway that something was a little off. Not to mention his Elmer Fudd expression of, oh my God, what do I do? He's knocked out. Okay. You know, a lot of giveaways here from Johnny Boy. But I thought the Elimination Chamber was really well done. Again, I do appreciate Cena like really locking that one in. Like, yo, I told y'all when I made at the press conference, I'm calling my shot. Like, I'm doing what I need to do. I'm winning this for me. Like, I like that. I'm here for that. So, yeah, I thought the match was really good. Really well laid out as well.
I thought so as well. Great finish. And as you said, like when that STF is locked in that tight, that is a sign of danger to come. And even more so, the post-match of it all with him just jumping up and down like a cheerleader. I said, this is excessive. And first of all, why are you still hanging out here when The Rock and Travis Scott comes out to basically ask Cody the million-dollar question? Are you going to give your soul to me? Are you going to hug me? Are you going to be my brother? Are you going to be my champion? Cena's over there in the corner like, no, don't do it. It's not worth it. Save yourself. Like, he was so extra. All he needed was pom-poms and maybe like a mime makeup just to really sell how absurd he was. So you could tell something was amiss. And then Cody basically tells The Rock to go fuck himself, which I thought was a great line to pop the crowd. And after that, Cena being his extra self was like, yay, Cody, you go. And then he's doing the, you know, the wide outreached hand, doing the dap. You do an outreach dap, you know something is amiss. You know, you do the outreach dap. It's a little bit too far wide, not close enough, not a real dap. And then he hugs Cody Rhodes. And then he has a stone cold look on his face as if his soul was drained from his body. And then The Rock put out the kill order. And John Cena proceeded to kill Cody Rhodes alongside, for reasons I still can't explain, Travis Scott.
Yeah, Travis Scott with the slap of death. Anytime you get the family kiss of death with the pull in and the real cheek to cheek hold for a long minute and nothing's being said, yeah, some bad's coming your way. We got Travis Scott over there. I'm not gonna lie, at first I thought he was lighting a blunt. I ain't know what was going on over there in the corner with that dude. I thought he was literally rolling up in the middle of the ring. And then it was about, I was like, yo, this is getting to be a bit much right now. But then he talking about he doing sage. So they doing voodoo and all types of weird stuff going on. They done put Cena in a trance. The whole thing was crazy. But very well done. Cena was great. I don't know what it is, but his mean mug is just like 25% of me just wants to laugh at it. I don't know why, but like 25%, like when he was standing next to The Rock and they were standing next to each other, you know, and it was the invisible Rock right there. I couldn't take him serious for like a half second. And then I was like, all right, I'm back in. But yeah, he a funny looking guy when he puts that meme mug on.
And the fact they're running with that particular mean mug for promotional WrestleMania pictures has me howling. Like, that's the picture they're going with, the mean mug John Cena. That is laughable in some ways. And I'm going to get to Cena's heel-ness later because I had my thoughts on his first promo last week. I have more thoughts regarding Take Two. But I do sense he's trying really hard to get over as a bad guy. But he needs to relax and remember what made him a great heel in the beginning was him being himself and not putting on airs.
Yeah, but that doing all that is also what made people like, yo, he's really funny. He's great. Yo,
yeah.
Rip him apart next. Go at her next. Like, he was too good at it. He was too good at putting them rhymes together.
And then he couldn't help himself on Monday. He was rhyming a little bit too with his cadence. He was. And I was like, oh, not him having a flow. Like, he can't help himself. So I'm like, dude, even though you want to fight it so bad, dude, you like a natural flow artist. You're just going to have to go out there and ether somebody, ether Cody on the microphone one night. You're going to have to do it. You have to unleash, stop being like a mean mugging Elmer Fudd, as Scott said, and actually just be loose. Because I think he's trying to confine himself as I must be this kind of heel. I must be kind of robotic. But when you started the talk and the flow came, like, that's the cadence that I love about his promos. And he's trying to deliberately dial it back because you don't want to get cheered. If you're great at what you do, you can deliver lines and still get booed.
Yeah, and he is great at what he does. But I think it's exactly what you said, though. I think it's because you love it. We love it. Like, and he knows that, like, he just knows how to manipulate a crowd so well. And I think he's like, yo, I know what they want. I know they're going to want me to come with this new music and this new, you know, whole new swag. And I'm not doing any of that. I just want to win for me. Don't care about none of y'all. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing him rip up a poster, you know, maybe get a plant out there and smack someone. You know, something crazy. I'm still waiting. Where's his dad at? I want his dad to come out and just start heckling a baby face. You know what I mean? Like, it's Cena is just, like you said, Cena has a natural flow. And the only way we're going to have him be a bad, bad man is if we have Bumpy Knuckles out there rapping with him.
Exactly. In a live concert with the chain and, you know, the Dr. Thuganomics, all of that would be awesome. But he's not going to do that. But I think the one thing that might make him even more like diabolical would be if he actually made a child cry in real time. Like, damn the pouty face, because the pouty face meme was great. Make a child cry. Break their heart. Take their poster. Rip it apart. Just poke fun at them and then have the parents cry. I want like a child in that crowd to be miserable in tears after John Cena broke their heart. I want that. I need that, actually.
Yeah, I think we'll get that at some point. I think after he beats Cody at WrestleMania, we'll have some children crying.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully the little kid that was in London, who was really adorable, by the way, one of Cody's friends, he was so cute. If you make that kid cry, that's going to be like points for you, John. So we'll see about it. But we'll talk more about John Cena's heel turn in a bit. But let's pivot back to something that Scott actively avoided for 2 weeks, because let's go back to a few SmackDowns ago. it was the fallout of the incident at Elimination Chamber when Jade attacked Naomi. And Bianca Belair wanted answers. Now, in today's world, you have a phone, you have text message, you have the ability to dial a number, and you have FaceTime. But Bianca has none of those features, apparently. And she says, I can't talk to Jade, can't talk to Naomi. I'll just wait to go on television. I'll go to Philly and talk to them. You know, I'll wait to go fly out to Philadelphia and talk to my girls and see what's up. So Bianca Belair is very torn about winning in the Elimination Chamber, but watching her best friends fight each other in the Elimination Chamber, mainly Jade beating the hell out of Naomi. And she just wants answers. And Naomi comes out, and she and Bianca Belair proceed to deliver one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. Because I have, listen, because, you know, deep down, you know I'm not wrong. It pains you that I'm saying this and you have no counterpoint, because it is very rare that you have two people go out there and cry on command, believably. They're not fake crying. They're actually tapping into real human emotions, because their friendship in real life is pretty deep. And now, for the time being, there will be no more TikToks. There'll be no more dance challenges. It's done. Like, their tributes during Black History Month, I will always love them, but we're not getting that anytime soon. There's finality to their friendship on screen for right now. And I thought they delivered great performances. They tapped into some real emotion that I appreciated. And Bianca was trying to get Naomi to tell the truth about what happened, because Naomi's about, let's get these tag team titles back. Forget Jade. I want to focus on you and me going after Liv and Raquel. But then she admits that she, in fact, pushed Jade, because Jade was basically trying to steal Bianca's shine from day one, and she wasn't going to stand there and allow it. And Bianca was shocked by this, devastated, saying, we're done. And then Naomi says, listen, all I ever do is set up for myself, and you people don't appreciate it. And you, Bianca, all that I did for you, I did it for you. I did it for the people. And you ungrateful bitch. You're ungrateful for what I did to you. I pushed your partner on a car because she was trying to steal your shine. And then Jay comes out and she proceeds to beat up Naomi again. But I love the segment. I thought it was great acting by Naomi and Bianca. It really was. Scott's laughing because he can't dispute it.
I think great is a strong word. It was good. It was very good. Don't get me wrong. It was very good. I felt like I was watching an audition for Diary of a Mad Black Woman sequel from Tyler Perry. It was very good. Very good. Very good. Looking forward to the Netflix special. This was a really good segment. Naomi did a really good promo. I thought Bianca was a bit much at times. Just keeping it a buck. I thought she was a bit much at times. But I thought Naomi was, I thought Naomi's been spot on the last few weeks. She's definitely been creeping out of the book bag, and she's been making her way into a full on mannequin. So she's doing her thing.
What?
She's a person now. Yeah, she looks like a person. She's not being carried anymore.
She's not a person.
It's closer she's getting. You ever seen I Am Legend? They were all people to him.
Oh my God. Egregious. And I will say, because you had to call it out, Bianca was at times trying to be a lot like Angela Bassett.
I was just about to say Angela. She
watched the latest Wakanda movie and was like, there it is. That's it.
I'm doing that. And she watched a little bit of the Jackson 5, An American Story. She did. I don't want you no more, Naomi. I don't want you no more. Don't touch me. She was giving a little bit of that. She's giving a little bit of that too.
Yeah, Naomi watched watched the Temptations and watched Leon.
Actually, that is the highest compliment you can give her.
100. That's no knock. That is not. If you see the Temptations movie and you see Leon's performance, that is not a knock. He kills it.
Yes,
but he's aggressive like that. He wants the attention and he gets it.
Yeah, you hear that? They came to see me.
They came to see me, not you.
I mean, nobody came to see you, Otis. And in this case, Otis is Jade. So.
Which is a bit disrespectful to Jade, but that's okay.
Well, it fits in this scenario.
Yeah, so. No, it is. That's 100% who it is. That's 100% who it is.
Yes, like Naomi's actually a great Leon, actually. She's a supreme hater. And I do love that. So. Naomi did get her revenge eventually last Friday on SmackDown. We'll circle back to that in a bit.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/RedCircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/RedCircle.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at Aura.com/listen. That's Aura.com/listen.
Well, let's go to Cena's first heel promo on Monday Night Raw last week in Brussels, Belgium. And I already said my take. If Scott listened to the podcast, which I'm sure he did, he knows that I actually said on a live microphone that The Miz was a better John Cena than John Cena in terms of being a heel. I said it. I stand by it. But I'll take Scott's pick, his take on Cena's initial heel promo in WWE since the turn Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. Besides the fact it was at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm over here making a PB&J and here comes John Cena out here. I know people expect him to go back to like just tearing people apart. They want him to eat Cody up like he ate Roman Reigns up, like he ate The Rock up, like when he gets into these. But he's just not going to do that. And that first promo was a very clear indicative indication of that. And, you know, it did feel very, like, tropey as far as this is just kind of the basic bullet points. Let's just hit these notes. Because we know when we get to the match, the crowd is going to be on their feet. They're going to go crazy regardless. It did feel like that a little bit. Just John Cena just knows how to play with words. But I will say there is a bit of, you know, we don't have to be special here. We can just kind of hit the beats that we know work. Blame the fans, get them to boo, and then, you know, build it up for the big baby face to come out and get in my face and kind of shut me up. So it is what it is. And hopefully, because I think he's only got one more appearance left, you know, especially after the one we got Monday. Hopefully we get a real back and forth where Cena just kind of lets it go. And if Cody gets eaten alive, he gets eaten alive. He got to figure it out. He'll have a week to himself to cut a promo where he can recover. But we need a John Cena Cody exchange, not just a John Cena comes out, says what he needs to say, and then when Cody comes out and wants some back and forth, Cena's like, nah, you're not getting that out of me. So hopefully that's what we're building to on that last face-to-face.
Yes, I agree. The Cena monologues can stop now. We got the point. Message received. You are a heel for 25 years. You were in an abusive relationship, and now you want to break up with the fans. Now, I will say elements of it made sense. Other elements made zero sense to me, and it's kind of hard to reconcile the two. And he tried his best to do his mean mugging face throughout it all, try to be stone faced, saying it's so easy to play you guys. I think take two this past Monday was a bit better in terms of the delivery and his intent. And then, unfortunately, it kind of got cartoony towards the end, because I don't know who you're trying to be, Dr. Evil. I don't know if you're trying to be
Dr. Evil.
It was given dark Dr. Evil, talking about, I am here to take away your championship. I'm here to ruin professional wrestling as I point my pinky at my mouth. It was giving Zorak from Space Ghost. It was giving a lot.
That's a heck of a pool. Your boy, I used to love you some Space Ghost coast to coast. Let me tell you, on Toonami, yeah, that was my jam.
Listen, I had to, in honor of the late Space Ghost, may right, he rest, loved Space Ghost coast to coast. That show was ahead of its time. That was basically the invention of Adult Swim, honestly speaking.
Yeah, 100%.
And as children, as Scott and I was growing up, we had no business watching that show, but we got all the jokes. We did. And I appreciated it. But yeah, he was giving Zorak towards the end. He was. It was a bit extra. And I wanted Cody to zap him like Space Ghost would.
Oh, that's wild. Cody Rhodes looked like he would play a Space Ghost on a live action show.
He would.
He looks like he would play
talk show
Space
host,
Ghost.
Legitimately.
Yeah, I could see him doing that. You know, as we're talking about it, I was just kind of thinking, you know, instead of, like I said, I think John's just hitting the basic, we know what'll work, we know what'll get the reactions. I think there is something to maybe he could have played more of his Jacob Toretto character from Fast 9. More of just the arrogant guy who knows how good he is. I think he kind of, you know, I wish he would have leaned into that more, but that also means that you kind of have to have people that you need to knock down. You need people in your face. And I think that's what they're kind of staying away from, is him having to interact with anybody. And I don't know why, but I think that's kind of why we haven't gotten the ultra cocky, just real swagged out type of John Cena, like in a Fast 9. That's the only time I can think of where he's really been a bad guy in a movie.
Yeah, with the fake tattoos and all that jazz. So I am here for...
that's a stray. That's a stray. What did Jacob do?
A lot. That offended me. And those fake tattoos are one of them. I'm just being honest.
Can we also talk about the fact that, because, you know, in the flashback, clearly Dominic Toretto is a black man. That's not a Spanish dude. That's a black kid. So that means that John Cena's half black in this movie.
Yes, he is.
That's crazy.
John Cena is biracial. That's what we have learned with really bad tats. That's what we also learned as well. So he's trying to be like a method actor who is from like the hoodest of hoods. So congratulations to him. So, you know, I do hope he takes that arrogance and kind of fine tunes the promo. As we talked about heading into this week's Monday Night Raw, cadence was hitting. He was trying not to rhyme and flow, but the rhyme and flow just kind of came to him. Then he stopped himself. And we'll talk about that in just a bit. But I did like Cody's short and sweet promo, basically saying, listen, if you present this John Cena to me at WrestleMania, I'm going to beat you handedly, and this retirement tour will be over right then and there. There will be no encore presentation. You just be done. I want a John Cena who's actually going to challenge me and not this whiny bitch in front of me. And I love the fact that we got no music when both guys were done talking and the fans spoke for both of them, which I appreciated. But let's move on to Judgment Day drama. And do we still care in 2025? And my answer is no. I love, if you could see this right now, Scott has just disappeared from the frame. He has sat back in his chair. He is over it, as am I, because the Judgment Day effectively died when Rhea and Damian Priest got kicked out from the group. It's never been the same. When they got rid of Archer Bridge, it was done, dead. Once the purple lighting effects were done, it was dead. And now we have this battle between Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio, who's recruiting people left and right to join Judgment Day for fucking what? I don't know. And I don't care. The only thing I care about potentially is a babyface Dominic Mysterio. Otherwise, I don't care about any of this.
Nah, I'm here for babyface Finn. I'm here for that. I think Dominic needs to stay heel. Him having the lackey Carlito, who just doesn't pay attention to anything and just says random stuff. I think that's where the money is. Even though I do like the line he said last week where he was like, you know, Dom was like, I didn't even know that he wanted the Intercontinental title. And Carlito was like, dude, do you watch the show? Like, do you watch the show for the last 3 weeks?
Did you watch the last segment? Did you watch that?
You watching the show, dude? Like, so yeah, that I think Finn Balor's got a nice, I think if anyone needs a refresh, I think what Dominic needs is just serious attention. Like, I just think he needs just the spotlight back on him, because when he was getting the spotlight, he was doing fine. When he was walking around with the North American Championship, going show to show, like, he was making moves. He was the biggest heel they had. I just think he needs more attention. Finn Balor needs just a whole change of pace, just a whole, you know, a different direction. And I think him going babyface, him, you know, maybe embracing the demon to take out Judgment Day, I don't know when it'll happen, but I think that is the must needed out of all of that, is him just switching gears and realigning with the babyface, keeping this badass attitude that he has, and kind of just being the Finn Balor that went down to NXT and dominated for almost a year.
Yeah, I miss that Finn Balor. Damn it, that return back in the early 2020s was special, I must admit, and that heel turn was quite effective, by the way. But, you know, can he find that aura in 2025?
Yeah.
I hope he can, because babyface Finn, man, when he was at his peak as a babyface, he was special. And people knew it. They felt it. And he needs his old music back, too. With this new shit, it's not going to resonate the same way. You need to get the music back. We'll love to see the Demon again. It's been a very long time, maybe a couple of years, since he last appeared at WrestleMania with his OG theme music when he fought Edge in that Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania. But I just think that he does need a fresh coat of paint. He's in probably the last big contract he will have in WWE. And I want the run to mean something. I'm not advocating for him to win a major championship, but I want him to be a player in that mid-card scene. And I do want him to kind of rediscover what made him special. Because when he was special, he was great. He was, to me, before we even did a show many moons ago, he was like one of the OG recipients of Cheddar Biscuits. So I want him to get back to that, you know, and I hope that he does. And maybe a babyface turn will be a way to facilitate that. But my next question, Scott, is if Dominic Mysterio is in fact recruiting someone for Judgment Day, do you think anyone's going to nibble? Do you see anyone on the main roster that could potentially say, hey, I'll take this crew on?
Well, since they fired the rest of this guy's crew, I could see Karrion Kross being like, ah, you know what? Yeah, you lost people. I need people. We can work together. So, yeah, I could see Karrion. I don't know what it is or why Karrion Kross just hasn't, you know, hit on the main roster. But, yeah, I could see him. I could see him kind of taking over the Judgment Day. For one, what else he got to do? He ain't got no more testaments to read. The Old Testament is gone. He need a New Testament. So it looked like the Judgment Day is the way to go. So yeah, I could see that happening. You know, as far as anyone else, nah, I don't see anyone else really needing or wanting his help.
I agree, but I will say that in the year 2025, Karrion Kross might have figured it out. He might have finally figured it out, like being funny, being a little sarcastic, being a little bit biting, telling your own stories, filling in your own blanks, and fans are kind of nibbling a bit. I love that for him. I just want him to have a good story that'll get him over on television, because he's over with the internet this time around, which I like to see. And the hairstyles, if you pay close attention, it is mirroring the people he's trying to corrupt. From Xavier Woods to Sami Zayn to now AJ Styles, like two dudes with that kind of press, with that kind of straightening in their hair, that kind of Pantene is especially egregious. So we'll see if Karrion Kross and Dominic Mysterio have a meeting in the mines, and he hijacks Judgment Day and kicks Finn out. And I'm going to pray for Dominic if Liv and Scarlett get together. Prayers up for him.
Prayers up for him. Prayers up for Karrion Kross. prayers up for him. Prayers up for Karrion Kross. Shout out to Dominic if that happens.
Whoa.
But hey, you know, there's absolutely going to be a storyline where Karrion's like, hey, what's going on? That's going to be the fallout of Judgment Day.
But you know what I'm thinking about? I'd rather Dominic just take over the group himself. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's time for him to, instead of always being a number two, being a lackey, it's time for him to be the guy to lead the group. You know, if you need to go and find some more people, then that's fine. But don't find a leader. You find people for your group. And maybe that's the end up being the twist, is that he's not recruiting someone as a new leader. He's recruiting people to replace Finn since he's taken over. Like, I hope it is something like that, because I think it's about time for him to take over and just really be a lead guy and be the guy in the group.
I agree. And it kind of goes back to what Finn Balor said when they kicked out Damian and Rhea, saying, we have no leaders, even though you want to be the leader. That's always a tricky part with Judgment Day, that you say no one's the leader, but deep down you want to be the leader. And Dominic says, fuck it. I am the leader.
Right.
I am the leader of this crew. I'm going to admit it. I'm the captain now. What about it? So hopefully we get that heading into WrestleMania. But either scenario, babyface or heel, I think both guys will strive at it. But for the long term, it needs to be Finn. And for down the road, I do still believe that Dominic will be a great babyface in 3 to 4 years. I do believe that. And when you grow your hair out that long, oh, it's expendable at some point. It's getting cut off in a lucha mask in a match. It is. That hair is, it's going to go.
Well, as long as he don't go against El Grande Gulf of Mexico luchador, he might lose his mask.
We're going to get to El Grande Americano in just a moment. That egregiousness that we saw on Monday Night Raw. But we got to touch on a very important topic that we kind of talked about earlier regarding what should main event WrestleMania Night 1. And we kind of are leaning towards Bianca, Rhea, and Io Sky for the Women's World Championship. And then we have Jey Uso, our 2025 Men's Royal Rumble winner, versus Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, in the beginning, I was very happy for Jey. I did not understand the outrage of him winning the Royal Rumble. Now, the patterning of the booking for this match heading into WrestleMania has gotten a bit redundant. I'm not going to lie to you. And then Jey's been getting some flack regarding the slips he's had on accident in the last week or so, and then purposely in storyline to play into it a bit more. But I do wonder if things have cooled off heading into WrestleMania, and will there be any magic left in this match to justify a title switch, and will the fans go along with Jey for the ride ultimately? Do you think he's lost some momentum in the last month and a half?
Yeah, but I think that, you know, when you look back at the Royal Rumble winners from the past few years, like, there is a 2-3 week period where there's just a little bit of a lull. And I think he's lost a little bit. Most don't necessarily lose a little bit of momentum. He might have lost some. But there is a little bit of a lull where you don't want to run through everything you have. And I think, you know, they might have, no pun intended, slipped upon something with these Jey Uso mess ups, you know, especially with that, the first dive that didn't work, and now him slipping on the spear with him not having that edge. Jimmy cut a great promo. Big Jim. Shout out to Big Jim. Shout out.
Pause. Time out. Flag on the play. Now, after I got roasted by you calling that man Big Jim, and you rolled your eyes and you called that man Big Jim, now you want to call that man Big Jim. I told you, put some respect on Big Jim's name.
You are 100% right. He earned it. And the reason I called him Big Jim, because that man had the balls to be like, hey, I saw what you did on Monday. Watch what I do on Friday. Like, bro, that's personal. That's a brother. That's a brother being like, yeah, why? I got you on Friday. But yeah, Big Jim, shout out to that great promo. Like, they have, again, slipped into something that they can really use to build upon, because I don't think they really had a direction. I think it would have just been Gunther beating him down and Jey Uso finally getting, you know, a bit of redemption on the way back. I do think he has lost some momentum. I don't think it's anything, you know, that he can't get back. But one thing he is going to have to do at some point, there is going to have to be another face-to-face, and Jey is going to have to cut a really strong promo. Like, there's going to have to be a go-home promo from Jey Uso that really just connects the whole thing from the beginning of main event Jey Uso, because I like the way Jimmy brought that up, all the way till now, where you are the main event, Jey Uso. Like, there needs to be a cognitive string in that story that he needs to be able to convey and give to the audience, you know, after that incredible entrance that he's going to have to open a show. Then I need to hear 5 minutes of him just giving the passion and giving his soul and heart and why, you know, he's in the position and why he's going to win. I need that, and I need to feel that. And I think once he gives that, we'll be right back on track.
Yeah, he needs, like, probably one of the best promos of his life to cut on Gunther heading into WrestleMania within the last couple of weeks or so. Jimmy's promo backstage was so good on Monday Night Raw. Like, I just sit back and I think to myself, see, for years, this was why Jimmy was the more charismatic of the two until Jey stepped up and he met his brother. And Jimmy was there to motivate his brother to say, I saw you when you were just a right-hand man to being main event Jey Uso. I was on that journey. I was trying to get you back to being my brother, but you were above me in that way. And I loved how he slapped the hell out of Gunther, because Gunther takes none of this seriously at all. And I need that fire that Jimmy exhibited to come through Jey, because this is your WrestleMania main event, potentially. This is your ass on the line to say, hey, are you worthy of being the main champion of Monday Night Raw? Here is the task before you. Cut the promo of your life, dish the catchphrases, tell your story, sell the people, and there we go. We know we can do it. We've seen him do it multiple times, but when it counts most, you're really gonna have to deliver. And I hope that Jimmy's promo motivates him to deliver that clutch promo heading into WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I think it will, and I think the match would be solid. You know, if one thing that Jey Uso didn't get over by having classics,
that's
it's not saying he can't. He has classics on his catalog, but that's not what got him over. What got him over was just connecting with the crowd, fighting from underneath, constantly getting that close to finally winning it. Like, when he won the Intercontinental title, you could feel the energy was different. It was like, yeah, that's all you, when he first came out with the belt. And I think it's the same thing. Like, there's just a want of him to finish the story, essentially. Like people want him to... It's not on Kofi Mania level, but it's the same type of, you were like, we know, we've seen the journey. We've seen how hard you've grinded for decades in this company. This is your time. So I think it'll be the same thing at Mania.
I agree. I think when it counts most, he'll deliver, as well as Gunther, and it will be great. Hopefully, fingers crossed on that. But let's get to what I fear is going to be a multi-man match at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship. It would be the great Bron Breakker versus Penta, most likely, versus others. And I don't know how I feel about that, in all honesty.
It is what it is. I'd prefer a one-on-one match, but it seems like we're getting back to the everybody back on the card, but we don't want to have an Andre to the Giant battle royal anymore. So we're just going to do a whole bunch of multi-man matches. A few years ago, we had the four-team tag team match randomly just to have. So, you know, it is what it is. But I think the match will be really strong. I would prefer just a one-on-one match for Braun. I feel like there are like a multitude of options for him to have this singles match with like him and Penta. And with Rey Fénix potentially coming in, I'd rather just have Penta and Rey in a tag team match, the Lucha Brothers in a tag team match versus somebody like, but yeah, it looks like we are heading towards a multi-man match. If you had to fill it out, what do you think the multi-man match will be and who's in it?
Okay. If I had to book this match, I got Braun, obviously, as the champion. I got Penta in the mix as well. I need Sheamus in this match. Okay. I need him in this match. Not opposed to Ludwig either, honestly speaking.
That's a fatal four-way.
Fatal four-way. And if you're trying to be cute, because I don't want this match as a singles match at WrestleMania, throw in AJ Styles and Logan Paul. Six-pack challenge, IC championship.
Wow. You know, I think Logan Paul and AJ Styles would have a banger singles match.
I know, and it kind of unnerves me that that's a possibility.
they go out there and put on a show.
It unnerves me. It angers me because you're right. And when I saw their brief interaction, I was like, this bastard so beautifully. I hate you. That is my eternal struggle with this man who I won't name outside of that one time. So I know it's going to be great. And that's what irritates me.
Yeah. So I like Ludwig. You know what? I want Braun to win. I think he, you know, will be there. I think I wouldn't be opposed to Ludwig winning that IC title at WrestleMania and walking to Gunther and being like, hey, don't let us down. You know, don't let us down. Hey, don't let us down as he holds his old Intercontinental title. Like, there would be a little bit of something there. So I wouldn't be opposed to that.
I would love it. Like he says, bring it on home to Imperium, right?
Right.
Exactly. Held up mine in the bargain. I add it to our collection. You're going to keep yours. So I would love it. And if Gunther were to lose, oh, the hell Ludwig would give that man. If you thought that Gunther was going to chop him, Ludwig might kill him. Just run up on that man.
Man, there's a great role reversal story that you could tell with Ludwig having the gold and Gunther either having the fall in line or he's just going to beat the hell out of Ludwig. It's going to be one of the two.
Yeah. And either way, like Gunther will be a face because of it. Can't go wrong with it.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I don't know. There is a charm to Ludwig where, like, you know, there's a charm and a fire to Ludwig that he has that could work really well as a babyface.
I agree. You know, that's why he was one of the OG recipients of Cheddar Biscuits. I see the vision completely.
You gave that man No. Let's tell the whole story. You gave that man a booth. I think he's one of the OG booth people.
Yes. Yeah, he is one of the OG booth people. Unlimited supply. And yeah. I think that I added Julius to that table immediately. So it was like, you know, I was very giving at the booth. I really was.
Well, just know that Tiffany gets a spot at the booth. If Ludwig there, that means you got to have a spot for Tiffany.
You know, that is fine, but let's actually.
Here we go.
Pivot.
Here we go.
You know, since Scott wants to pull a Raw, some friends, let's pivot. Let's pivot to SmackDown again, because I have thoughts. I have things to say about Tiffany and Charlotte Flair heading into their women's championship match at WrestleMania. Oh, boy. So for weeks, Charlotte punked out Tiffany Stratton every chance she got, talked down to her, bullied her, put her in a figure eight, refused to release the hold. Then a couple of weeks ago on SmackDown, Tiffany got her revenge by not hitting one Swanton bomb on Charlotte multiple times in a brawl at ringside and by the main staging area. But it was good heat to get something going heading into their WrestleMania match, which needs something because historically speaking, Charlotte's WrestleMania feuds in the buildup have been very lackluster. Now she will show up at the actual event and tear it up. Like the facts are facts on that. Like she will go into WrestleMania and she will deliver one of the greatest in-ring performances in WrestleMania history, which she does, but the story tends to lack. So let's get to this split screen interview involving Charlotte and Tiffany on Friday Night SmackDown. My God, did Tiffany get exposed a bit via this exchange? And I know some fans hated it because Charlotte was improvising some stuff, but she's a veteran. She can do that. She has the flexibility to add something to this rivalry here, and it's on Tiffany to step up and elevate and play off of that. And she was caught slipping. I'm not going to lie. She was repeating lines that didn't land because Charlotte had a counter like she was playing tennis. She was volleying back and forth, but it just didn't gel or connect. I actually had no problem with Charlotte's delivery. I just want Tiffany to match that energy and be just as cutting and not think so much in your head about what you're supposed to say. That will come with time because Charlotte was famously robotic for a lot of her run in WWE, but you can tell, like, I'm here now as a seasoned veteran and I'm just going to give it to you like it is. And that part of the promo exchange, I didn't hate, but Tiffany got ate up. I cannot sit here and lie to you and say that she didn't.
You know, what's funny is the people that are mad about Charlotte Flair eating Tiffany up and spanking her on the microphone and really showing her why she is who she is in that division are the same fans that want John Cena to eviscerate the face of the company right now. You know, it's the same thing. Like, Tiffany's not the face of the company, but she's the young up and coming champion. And like, I agree with you. I'm cool with Charlotte doing that. And you could tell that Tiffany's not used to somebody going off script with her. They NXT, they probably didn't do that. You know, NXT, they probably stuck to what they had, what they were supposed to do, and that was it. She's not used to that. And especially her, you know, being in front of Charlotte Flair, there probably is a little bit of let me do what I'm supposed to do, stick to what I'm supposed to say. So again, and I agree with you. Charlotte probably hasn't honestly had a really good build to WrestleMania since her match with Asuka, and that had the wrong winner. But that's probably the last great build she's had to a WrestleMania match. Her and Rhea was okay last year, but this whole build has been very, you know, this one of all of them to me has been the most lackluster. Charlotte winning was lackluster. Her and I think her picking Tiffany maybe happened a little too soon, especially with them not really having anything going for them. Tiffany's another one. You know, you're gonna have to cut the whole act and just really, like, I'm gonna need a whole different delivery. I'm gonna need a whole different approach with your whole whenever you see Charlotte. Like, it needs to be on site the way Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes was. It needs to be like that every time you see her. I need to see energy. I need to see fire. Because as of right now, I'm pulling for Charlotte Flair. Because I mean, like, there's levels to this. And we are seeing Charlotte Flair operating on a level that Tiffany is just not at yet.
No. And I'm not going to be mad at Charlotte Flair for going off script and doing what you're supposed to do. Because that's how stars carry themselves. They're going to promote themselves and the match and hope their counterpart can do the same. I applaud Charlotte. I was like, ooh, try eating up real good. I can't even sit here and lie.
Can you imagine what Becky Lynch or somebody like that would have done if Charlotte would have went off script like that? Becky would be like, what? Yo, stop. First of all,
Becky would have absolutely ate Charlotte up right back.
Becky, Bianca, yes. Bailey,
yes.
Zelina Vega.
Yes.
Like, you know, there's a list of people who, even if it's nothing crazy, they definitely would have at least snapped back with something to the point where Charlotte would be like, okay, let me fall back for a minute then. You know, at least to get you back on track. Like you said, she was just going through the lines instead of at least having a, like, at least come back with something that she's not expecting and then work it back into what you're doing. Like, you can always hit them with a comeback and be like, as I was saying, now you're right back on script. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So there's ways to do this. And that's what I just mean by there's just levels to this. Now, you know, Tiffany, if the match is, like you said, you've already stated this, but Charlotte is an all-time great WrestleMania performer. All-time great. Nobody can take that. Nobody can deny that from her as far as her match quality goes, at least for me. If Tiffany goes out there and has a great match, that's all she needs to do. Because I just can't imagine them giving Tiffany a win unless she has an incredible last 3 weeks as far as promo work and just showing a fire we have not seen yet.
Yeah, and she's got to show it. And I kind of agree with you, too, that I think that she needs to ditch the entire character.
Yeah.
I think she needs to ditch it and she needs to find out who Tiffany Stratton is, because I don't think she's Barbie. I think that she is someone else.
She's evolved. She's
evolved from that gimmick, honestly. And she's evolved from being the prissy, bougie, you know, I'm the champion, I'm this, I'm that, I'm better than you. Very eh. But she needs to kind of take those layers back and find out who the actual Tiffany Stratton is. And it needs to be repackaged. She might have to change the way she delivers promos, how she talks. Like, your actual accent, you need to start speaking it. And you need to start emoting better. And the key thing I'm noticing with Tiffany, get out of your head. Stop overthinking everything you're doing and just be free to just flow. When she does that, that is the mark of you have figured it out. And it's not too late to do that, but she is in her head way too much thinking about sometimes what my next spot is going to be or what my next line is going to be.
So, I know we need to move on. I think Tiffany is kind of the exact opposite of what Jey Uso is as far as how she got over. Tiffany got over by being really good in the ring really fast and people catching on to that and her being able to incorporate her gimmick into her in-ring work and her just being able to keep up with everybody, hitting these moves with this efficiency, and just every single week you saw a new wrinkle you didn't see. That's where Tiffany got over. No one's going to tell you about a promo she cut where they were like, man, did you hear that Tiffany Stratton promo? That was incredible. That's not saying she was cutting like these terrible ones, but nobody's going to talk about that. But they will tell you about some of the matches she's had in NXT against like a Wendy Chu. You know what I mean? Like, and those were really good matches, but those were the ways that she got over, was the in-ring. And that's why, again, it all circles back to what you said at the beginning. When they step in the ring at WrestleMania, I 100% expect them to deliver. I think it's going to add another notch in Charlotte Flair's catalog of just having great matches. And this is going to put Tiffany in that sphere of, I can have a great match with anybody too. It's going to give her that confidence. At least I think it will. But that's what got Tiffany over, was the in-ring. How we talked about with Jey was the connection and the story. Tiffany's got to wrestle. That's how you're going to get her over. She needs to be wrestling like a Piper Niven. Somebody where she can wrestle from underneath and really have to get the crowd to rally behind her.
I agree. And we both kind of predict that their match at WrestleMania is going to be great despite the lack of a story. I fully believe that. It's Charlotte Flair. It's WrestleMania. She does not lay eggs. That rarely happens. Very rarely happens. Tiffany, this is a big moment for her. I think her and Charlotte have great chemistry. Fans did want this match. It was a dream. I just think the execution of it has been so far in terms of the promos and booking, but we'll see. WrestleMania, it might be a very eye-opening match. I believe it will, because I don't bet against Charlotte when the lights are on bright and she has a point to prove, and she'll be pissed based on match positioning, because if they're not in the middle or close to the end, if you got her early on in the night, oh, you know she's wrestling to say, hey, should have put me at the end of the show. So bet. Just, we got to wait and see. But in one more SmackDown development, before we move back to Monday Night Raw, let's talk about Solo and Jacob Fatu. Scott has no thoughts.
Again, a little bit of a role reversal. I think Solo's a great hype man. I will say that. Like, I think he's a great hype man for Jacob. Like, the promo he cut, you could tell he was like, he was getting hype himself. So I think he's a great hype man. But none of this matters, because the new bloodline is still missing the most important person. So until Tongaloa comes back and is standing on top of the ladder, none of this matters.
Sir. The unseriousness of you to say, well, you know, this won't be a story to Tongaloa gets back. You are such a bullshitter. The story is already there. And I get the pleasure of looking at Tama Tonga every Friday. I get that pleasure every week. And I still want to ask his wife, can she fight? I think she can.
Yeah. Everybody who's married into that family. And yes. I'm just going to go out on a limb and think they can throw hands.
Yes. I absolutely agree with her. Extra hands, because Cheddar Biscuits, he deserves a franchise.
Wow.
As well. He does. Right. Yes, he does. No lie. Tongaloa, please.
I'm just saying, watch our business pick up when he come back.
Oh, shut up.
Watch our business pick up when he come back.
Business will go mild when he returns. Okay, let's stop. Stop it. But let's get to part two of John Cena's heel promo on Monday Night Raw, where he basically says, I've been using all of you for an experiment for the last 25 years, and I've learned so much about all of you, your vulgarity, and how you cuss me out every chance you get, and how I play you every step of the way. Everything I've done for you, you just turn it right back around and prove to me how much you don't matter, how easy it is to play all of you. And then that man started trying to flow. And he had to stop himself because he was going with the beat. I said, oh, there we go. There he is.
Can't help himself.
He can't help himself.
He can't help
that himself. Man started flowing. I said, see, there it is. And then he went back to Dr. Evil on me. And I was like, well, we tried. Then he talks about how he's going to ruin professional wrestling for all of us heading into WrestleMania, that he talked about disgracing us with the spinner belt 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, in the beginning, like I'm reading Genesis, in the beginning, I didn't hate this belt. But as I've gotten older and I see this monstrosity, oh, this belt is hideous, ugly. And he says, because y'all thought this is a toy, well, I'm going to take your new toy. I'm going to take that toy you love so much, that big sparkly WWE championship belt, and I'm going for number 17. And when you associate number 17, it's not going to be Ric Flair. It's going to be me. What about it? And then he went Dr. Evil on me, and I didn't care. And I wanted Space Ghost Cody Rhodes to zap him like Zorak. That's what I got at the end of that segment.
I'm here for the spinner belt. I think they should bring it back. So I'm here for Cena winning and literally just spinning the belt on Monday Night Raw. You remember how Roman Reigns, after he beat Undertaker, just walked out in the ring? I would like for Cena just to walk out and just spin the belt for 5 minutes. While Bad Man plays in the background.
That would actually be great heel heat.
It would be incredible.
Yes.
It would be incredible.
And he's got to wear the mafia fit.
Oh, I might come out as Thugonomics, full on Thugonomics, whatever the city is. I'm wearing a jersey, full on Thugonomics.
Man, it may gonna get cheered if you do that. Like, you just can't play Thugonomics and not get cheered.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, that's like too much. But I think because you're teasing it, he's going to win at WrestleMania. I don't doubt that he's not going to win.
I think he's got to, especially doing all this, unless you're going to, unless the goal is for him to lose and realize that The Rock is not who he thinks he is, and The Rock starts beating him down, and then Cody goes and saves him, and then Cena's conflicted, and then we have a Cena redemption story, but that sounds silly. So, yeah, I think Cena's got to win, and then The Rock beats Cena for the title.
Yeah, and if this was the old man's WWE, that'd be the exact scenario. This crisis of conscience all at WrestleMania and a melodramatic play for 25 minutes. No, thank you. I am good with that. Let's tell this story in multiple parts as Cena gets his soul back towards the end of his retirement tour. But let's get to the main event, Scott, the thing that we're here for today, to discuss the debut of one of the greatest superstars who ever lived. El Grande Americano from the Gulf of America. And when they said that on a live airwave and they showed the graphic, I said, y'all crazy. Y'all really out here doing the most. I don't know if it's parody. Y'all really taking this shit seriously. But I felt a way about it. Felt a little uncomfy. I'm not going to lie. And then they did AI footage of this man being one of the greatest luchadors who ever lived. Now, the AI aspects, I did laugh. I did. But Chad Gable, we have to give him chins across the board because he takes anything he's given and turns it into gold.
Yeah, this was something. I'm torn on it. You know, he could have done a lot of things. He could have pulled the gauntlet out from Lucha Underground. He could have raised some people from the dead that have been killed on that show. There's a lot of things he could have done. But instead we just put him under a mask. Great. It's okay. I just think about where we were like a year ago at this time. We were thinking about, man, it should probably be Chad Gable wrestling Gunther at WrestleMania for the IC title. And now this year it's, man, it's probably going to be Chad Gable wrestling Rey Mysterio in a mask versus mask match at WrestleMania. Like, it is what it is. Like, at least he is all in on it, but we were on the brink of Chad Gable being a upper mid-card heel and like really establishing himself there, regardless of if he ever made the main event, he would always be in the mix. And now we're just a heel version of Alpha Academy.
Yeah. And it's kind of disappointing because I would have loved to see him just complete his story of beating Gunther for a championship, whether it was the IC or the World Heavyweight Championship. That was a mission of his. And he was mad at Sammy for doing something he couldn't do at last year's WrestleMania. That was basically the purpose of the heel turn in the first place. I do think that Chad Gable basically turns sugar shit into sugar water most of the time, and he's going to try his best to get this gimmick over. I did laugh a lot at Corey Graves calling that man a multicultural luchador last week. And I think that in the short term, it's entertaining. This is not sustainable long term. It needs to kind of get blown off fairly quickly in the next month or two. But what's so sad is that the idea of Ray and Chad at WrestleMania sounds exciting. They would have a great match, but the gimmick of it all would be stupid.
Yeah, but you know, that's where we're at right now with Chad. Instead of him just coming back and just running through the luchadors like he could, you know, you could hire some local luchadors and just stuff like that. Instead of him just running through guys and having a counter for lucha moves and stuff, telling that story, which is very easy and simple. You know, you have him come back, wrestle local talent. They try to hit some lucha moves and he just has a counter for everything. Instead of telling that story, we just go with him trying to adopt the lucha style. Not from an Olympic caliber wrestler.
No, doesn't quite jive at all. And he would have to really adapt the lucha libre style to really get it over. And will he commit to that? To be determined. But before we go, let's take a quick segue down to NXT from the last few weeks. And we do have a new double champion on NXT, Stephanie Vaquer, who is now the NXT North American Women's Champion and the Women's Champion of NXT as well. Scott, your thoughts on her dethroning Julia a couple of weeks ago in NYC?
I was okay with it because I thought she kind of surpassed Julia after she hit her Phoenix Splash in her debut. So I'm here for that. I think she's got it. She's definitely got a swag about her that she doesn't have to say a word. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think she is the first double champion as far as not unifying belts, but as far as actually holding two different belts as a woman. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. I know Keith Lee did it, had them both. I can't remember if somebody else did, but I just couldn't remember if anyone else, any other women had held two different singles titles and not in a unification matter. So history being made, you know, anytime I see someone wrestling two times in a show, the first time I ever saw it, I always think back to Kurt Angle when he was TNA heavyweight champion, X division champion, and tag team champion. And then him and Sting lost to R-Truth and Pac-Man Jones. So That's what I always think of. And then Triple H tried to replicate it by wrestling Randy Orton, Umaga, and Randy Orton again. To the, you know, I like that they had Stephanie do this history. I do wonder what the whole end game is. I wonder if that's Stan in the liver, because we had Jada, we had Jordan. I wonder if they bring back a match concept, because you know HBK loves to bring back old match concepts. There was one where Kurt Angle was, I believe it was the Eurocontinental, I think he called himself, where he was the European mm-hmm. and the Intercontinental champion, and they had a triple threat match. It was him, Christian and Edge, I think, or Edge and somebody else. And it was two falls, and the first fall was for one title, and the second fall was for another title. I could see them doing something like that with those three ladies, with the first fall being for the North American title and the second fall being for the NXT title, and you have a triple threat match right there, which would be a different, because we haven't seen that in probably 30 years, 20, 25 years. So it would be different for the newer audience. And also Jada would be in a huge spot, and you could get that North American title off of Stephanie without having her to take a pinfall.
Yes, totally makes sense. I love the concept idea. And they have options heading into Stand and Deliver. And Ava was basically being confronted by everyone backstage at the end of the show, which was so dumb.
The
and
final boss, in. Ava, looking lost.
Lord Jesus, can I say how lost she
lost and confused?
She was like, I'll figure it out. I'll come up with something. Like, all we needed was like the Nick Young meme of the question marks right. surrounding her at the end. Like, you know, for you to be Dwayne The Rock Johnson's daughter, your acting abilities and your father can deliver some performances. I was disappointed with this. This was really bad at the end of the show, I must say. But I do have a very important question to ask you, Scott. This is a question of importance. This is a question that has been rampant on the socials.
There we go.
And we do have a name for Retribution Shield. They're now known as Dark State. These memes out here. Are they
an N64 game?
I guess so. I guess so. They're N64 game. Somebody's way too pretty to be in this group, but I digress. Dion, you're too pretty to be in this group, but I digress on that. But the guys we have assembled do have some charisma, I must say. But my question for you, Scott, who is the true leader of Dark State? Because the streets are saying that Trick Williams might be the mastermind behind all of this, because they have not attacked him once. He downplays their attacks. He doesn't want to talk about it. And then on tonight's show, he says, that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, he's been very adamant about that not being his business. I think that would be a fantastic move. And I think it's the only move that really makes the the flashing lights crew make any sense. It's the only thing that makes the FLC even relevant in NXT. What? So they're the FLC, the flashing lights crew.
The FLC.
So tricking the FLC, I think that's actually a really good move.
You know, if you're trying to give the FLC, I kind of love that, has a nice ring to it. If you're trying to give them some legitimacy, if you're trying to make them feel like a big deal, you have a big guy at the front of it who's desperate enough to win back his championship by any means necessary, mm-hmm. to quote Malcolm X and sometimes Booker T. And the way you do that is to have Trick.
Hey, pause. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I thought it was a bit of a stretch for you to be bringing up Malcolm X on the show, but then for you to go like Malcolm X or Booker T, what?
Well, it is a shared quote, they say.
It is, but those two in the same... No, you're right. You're right. It is. I just didn't think two guys with last names of one letter being in the same sentence like that would just be so polar opposite. Booker T and Malcolm X.
It's great synergy when you think about it.
It is. It is. No, you killed it. I needed a minute to collect Booker T and Malcolm X in the same sentence.
Yes. Now, that's the only thing they have in common is that quote. And if he ever says it more than five times, take a shot. Wow. And you'll be drunk off your ass by the time the show is done. That and what the hell? What the hell? That's a lot of Booker-isms that will get you drunk on a Tuesday night. So that'll do it as well. But I do kind of foresee Dark State being ran by Trick Williams to be revealed at Stand and Deliver. Well, they will break the budget on the lighting effects. They're going to spend so much money lighting up all four guys as they do an attack. And I do love how they're so nice. And I mean, the production team is so nice to give this road crew special lighting and music and directing. Like, my God, the vision you have for this road group. Wow. I must say, bravo, bravo indeed.
Yeah, whatever they slipping them before they walk out, that $50 bill must be doing a lot, because they're getting the light work.
Grant is very crispy and going to the right people, apparently. And when you say $50, you're about right, because times are tough at the PC. You might be able to just scrum together about a good 50 to pay off the production crew at a given time. But before we go, one more item from NXT. Ricky Saints versus the QT Marshall of NXT, Sean Spears.
Wow.
I said what I said.
It's a bit much.
It's not factual.
He's not that bad.
The culling sucks. They suck. They suck. No one speaks like that in real life.
The culling.
Sounds like some rip-off horror movie from 2006.
No, they're a rip-off flock. That's what they are. They're a rip-off flock, except they don't have anyone cool who could do a shooting star press like Billy Kidman.
Oh, the memories of that. Oh, the memories. You activated memories. I kind of hate you for that.
Billy Kidman in his dirty t-shirt.
Oh, Lord Jesus. That thing did need some Tide and some bounce. I ain't seen a t-shirt that dirty.
The last t-shirt that was that dirty after Billy Kidman was from Bum Corbin.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And that was deliberate. With the spaghetti stain. It really was.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, but we do predict that Ricky Saints is most likely winning the North American Championship at Stand and Deliver. Just a pretty wise guess. I don't expect a clean finish next week during their championship match, which will lead to their match at Stand and Deliver. NXT, they had a streak of good shows leading into the NYC special that was adjacent to Madison Square Garden at the theater, of course. And since then, it's been so-so. But I think Stand and Deliver is going to be a very special show to kick off WrestleMania weekend. I do believe that.
Yeah, I thought the Roadblock was a really good show. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really, really, really good show. One of the best WWE television shows they've put on probably in 12 months. And all honestly, I think if you could put it up there with any other show, I thought it was great. And I think, if we're being completely honest, NXT is probably the most concise and compact show of all three right now, as far as everything means something, everything matters, and there's a little bit of a connective tissue week to week where, you know, things just make sense and people are excited about what's to come, and there's not this lackluster kind of effect from each show. So NXT is, you know, for what they lack maybe a little bit in their in-ring work as far as with some of the young people wrestling, they definitely have it as far as the story and just, you know, the connective tissue that they have going, at least for me right now.
I agree. And I would rank WWE programming in the following order. Monday Night Raw on Netflix is the best show they produce week to week. NXT is number two. SmackDown sucks. SmackDown sucks until they go back to 2 hours.
Yeah, that third hour is it's something. That third hour is on the that Enzo Amore cruiserweight champion time right now.
Oh my God. And that is a horrifying timeline to be a part of. That is not good. And we need to get off the timeline very soon. We need the show back 2 hours by the summer. Fingers crossed on that. But before we go, it's now time for Scott to make a decision. It's been a long time since he's done this. Does he have like this outstanding match that stands out to him, this outstanding rivalry that says, you know what, I must shout this out on the air to ruffle some feathers?
You know, I could go with like, you know, Moosh as being that guy, or, you know, I could talk about, you know, Tony Khan needing college basketball to actually make a difference in,
oh my God,
in his shows. But, you know, I'm just going to give a big shout out to NXT, man. I just, they get a lot of flack, and sometimes rightfully so, but they have accumulated a pretty decent roster when you really look at it. And one other thing I do want to do, I don't want to see Lash and Chikara losing to the two Evanescence backup singers anymore.
What?
Never
what?
Again.
What? Sir? Sir?
Yeah. They get shade for, and it's not even their fault. It's because they won. They get in shade because that shouldn't be happening.
You know, first of all, like, you have to be proper when you address Gigi and Tatum. Now you have to call them by their proper names, Haley Williams and Amy Lee.
First of all, you're not going to disrespect Paramore like that. All-time great group. All-time classic songs. So what you're not going to do is disrespect her. Okay. Shout out to Paxley though. I like Tatum. So
I do love Tatum too. She's one of my favorites on NXT. So any slander that goes towards Amy Lee and Haley Williams, I have beef, because that means Tatum gets astray and she doesn't deserve it. I will protect my angel at all costs. I love her. And she is one of the greatest stories to come out of NXT, because she is a from scratch PC trainee. Zero professional wrestling experience. And look how good she is now.
Does Gigi have professional wrestling experience?
Yes. Yes, she does. Then you're trying to hate on Priscilla Kelly. Then you're going to stop that. Now, I will say, post-injury, outside of her sleep on the ropes tonight, post-injury, this is the best she's ever looked. Except with the slip on the ropes tonight.
I thought she was, it was all right. She was all right. I thought Tatum Paxley looked good though.
She did. Yeah. But I will say this match notwithstanding.
Yeah.
Gigi has been better in this run since she's come back from the torn ACL. My other question becomes, where the hell is Shotzi? She's okay. She's all right. We doing good. We mark save.
I think her tank ran out of gas on the way to the show.
Sir,
so
she had to pull over. Well, at least you came up with an excuse that seems somewhat plausible.
You can't call AAA for a tank, you know. So you gotta get special people to come for a tank.
No, hey, listen, she might need electric gas. She had to charge the tank up.
Had to call Sergeant Slaughter.
All right, so Scott was trying to be semi-serious today with his pick, which I appreciate. I do. And a shout out to the Street Profits as well for being the new WWE Tag Team Champions, first time in 4 years. Now, why did they change their music on Friday?
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
I mean, after they changed the music, nobody cares now.
Yeah, nobody cares. They're not partying up no more. You know, they just got my man Montez and just some basic slacks. Nobody cares.
Not basic slacks.
They just got my man in some slacks. Nobody cares.
Yeah, man. The gear, I'm hating the gear. Even though I love them, the gear sucks. Like, Bianca, if you need to sew their gear, do it.
That's something he would wear when he posted on Instagram to go get a couple million likes.
Exactly. I agree. So we got to step up. We got to step up. Happy for them. But when they changed the music, it started to mean less. And it was like, why go back to music that sucks? But we move. And with that, that is a wrap for the weeks that were in WWE dating back to Elimination Chamber. I want to thank Scott for coming back and joining me to recap everything he's missed in WWE. Loved his takes and analysis. And you know what? Now we're on that road to WrestleMania. 25 days to go.
Yeah, this has probably been one of the most lackluster builds since John Cena, Big Show, and Edge had a triple threat over Vicky Guerrero.
Oh, God almighty in heaven, Lord Jesus, no.
So, you know, it is what it is, but I think this will be one of the better in-ring WrestleManias we've had in a while. We've had, the last 2 years have been exceptional in-ring, especially 39. I think this one has a chance to at least eclipse last year in-ring.
It's possible. So what you're saying is that we could have a WrestleMania 19 scenario of a great show that will never be talked about.
Yes. Yeah. I 100%. I think this will be 41, you know, outside of maybe a big moment of Cena and Rock standing tall over Cody Rhodes' lifeless body. We could be in for a show that has a couple moments we talk about, but the matches will be great, but we'll forget about them in 3 months.
Yeah, it's given WrestleMania 19 one of the greatest WrestleManias ever, but the build and everything about it was kind of lackluster. But when they delivered the show, it was one of the greatest they ever did, but it's not talked about in that regard, sadly. But we could talk about it right here on The Wrap, and that might be a precursor for things to come in the next month or so. But until then, we'll be back next Wednesday, same time, same place, to recap the week so far in WWE as the road to WrestleMania continues. As always, thank you, Scott, for joining me today to recap the week that was in WWE.
Thank you for having me, Keila. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. We'll be back next week. I'm looking forward to Jade packing up and taking her book bag out on the next road trip.
You know what? You are rude. Of course, you would take one more dig at Naomi the Great one more time.
Naomi the Great.
Yes. Yes. When you compare it to Leon, she is Naomi the Great now.
Naomi the Great.
Yes, I said what I said. I stand by it, and I look forward to more beatdowns heading into WrestleMania. So until then, for myself and for Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. Enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy SmackDown in USA this Friday, if you can, for 3 hours. Prayers up. And we'll be back next week to talk all things WWE as the road to WrestleMania continues. That appears to be an everlasting, ever-long weekend. Glad I'm not going to be in Vegas, because I don't think I'll get any sleep.
Yeah, it's going to be a long one. That's going to be a long one.
Yeah, they got Hall of Fame. Then they got 3 nights of WrestleMania after dark. They have a roast. They have 2 nights of WrestleMania. They have NXT. They have Monday Night Raw. I would be dog tired by Monday Night Raw. I'll be like ready to go to bed, honestly.
Yeah, that's going to be a long weekend for some of them.
Yes, WWE World on top of that as well. Very, very, very long weekend for a lot of people, but it should be fun. So until then, take care and bye-bye.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at Aura.com/listen. That's AURA.com/listen.